Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, you find us in a series on prayer. Jesus modeled throughout his life on earth what prayer looked like between him and his heavenly Father. In this series, we explore how Jesus prayed and what we can learn from his example. Follow along and we hope you enjoy this message. That I did when I was growing up in my neighborhood is I had a group of friends, okay? We had like a few guys who we all lived within a couple streets of each other. How many of you, like the area that you live in, you have some friends in the area that you hang out with, whether it's your like neighborhood or your apartment complex or wherever it is that you live? And we would go to these friends' houses, and maybe this will connect. Even if you don't have people like that in your neighborhood, maybe you still do this. Like, we would go to a specific friend's house because we knew that a specific thing was there. You know what I'm saying? Like, we would go down the street to Billy's house. One of the reasons we went, we loved Billy, but we also loved his trampoline, okay? And so we would go down to Billy's house to hang out on his trampoline. And I have stories of, this was before the time when I think now it's like, it's law. And if you're going against law, then so be it. But there was no cage around the trampoline to keep us roped in, okay? It was just free roam, all right? And I would bounce off the trampoline. I remember a time I landed on a bench that was in the back of Billy's backyard. I landed on a tree stump that his dad had not gotten rid of, okay? Some bumps and bruises along the way at Billy's trampoline, but we loved it. Billy also had a GameCube, and so we would go over there. Does anybody even know what a GameCube is? Have you heard of a GameCube? This is like before the Switch, before the Wii U, before the Wii, then was the GameCube, okay? Before many of you, I think probably all of you were born, all right? Billy had a GameCube, and so we knew we could go play Nintendo games at Billy's house. I had another friend named Tyler who Billy lived down the hill from me, but then Tyler lived down the hill from Billy. And Tyler, his dad, he still does this. He runs like networking stuff and cables and all that kind of stuff for computers. And so they always had, like at any given time in their house, like five computers that were hooked up. And so you know that we were going over to Tyler's house to play games on his computer, okay? Now, we also appreciate Tyler's backyard because he had a great setup for this little thing called Airsoft, all right? Anybody ever played Airsoft in here? Yep. It's kind of like paintball, but with the little BBs, okay? And we would especially at nighttime, because that was when it was like the most scary and sketchy, okay? We would play Airsoft in Tyler's backyard. We had multiple friends in the neighborhood where we knew, like, hey, if we want to go do this thing, we're going to go to their house for that specific reason. Does anybody have friends like that? I'm not going to necessarily ask you to name them or point them, where you know, like, hey, if I'm going to this friend's house, we're going to be doing this thing. Yeah, a few of you, okay? We need friends like that in our life. What has become of us in 2024? You need some friends that you enjoy hanging out with, and you know when we go to that friend's house, we're going to do a certain thing. And so we would tuck away, we'd get in groups. Sometimes it would just be a couple of us. Sometimes it was just like a one-on-one thing, just some bros hanging out. But that was like a really big part of my life growing up, and something I look back on super duper fondly. And in a much more serious, not so lighthearted way, there seems to be times and places where we see Jesus tuck away for specific things, and specifically to tuck away to spend time with his Father. It doesn't seem like Jesus was jumping on a trampoline, although I think if the trampoline existed, he probably would have partaken in that. And it doesn't seem like he was playing any video games, but it does seem like over and over and over again, Jesus tucks away. Sometimes it's to a mountain, as the scriptures describe, like a mountainside. Sometimes it's to just a quiet place, is how the scriptures sometimes describe it. Oftentimes it seems like he was alone to do this, but he tucks away to spend time with the Father, and he seems to do it rather intentionally. And again, he seems to do it over and over and over again. And so what we're going to do is this morning, we're going to look at three places where Jesus does this and see if we can draw out kind of three big reasons that I think that he tended to do this, and then talk about how that may apply to our lives as well, okay? So Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be in verse 16, and this is right after Jesus is he's going around, and at this point he has cleansed a leper. He has healed a leper, someone who had a disease that was kind of deteriorating their body. Sorry, I said Matthew, didn't I? It's Luke, okay? You guys, I said Luke multiple times, so let's stick with that. Luke 5, chapter chapter 5, verse 16. He had just cleansed a leper, so he'd healed this person of this disease. And he actually said, hey, don't, like, just go and tell one person about this. But rumor spreads, news spreads, and all of a sudden crowds start to gather around Jesus. They're looking for his teaching. They're looking for what he's going to say next. They're looking for what he's going to do next. In fact, if you read the rest of this passage right here in Luke, you see that they're actually gathering, like, hey, maybe he will heal us too. And yet, what does Jesus do? Does he stay and spend time with all these people? Like, I mean, it seems like a lot of times when we see Jesus, he's having compassion on people and he's spending time with them and he is healing a lot of people. We actually don't get that here. Verse 16 says, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. That's kind of maybe a little bit different than how you sometimes think about Jesus. Like, I think sometimes it seems like Jesus just was this celebrity that welcomed everybody and would heal anybody that came up to him and always had something that he was going to say to people. And that's not to say, I mean, maybe the scripture leaves out some parts that he did right here, but it seems like, at least in this instance, it's not like he wasn't compassionate towards these people here or loving towards them or, no, but he's just always doing what the Father tells him to do and would have him do. And instead of engaging with the crowd, it seems like he actually pulls back and engages with his heavenly Father. Maybe another way you could say this is he actually seeks intimacy, relationship with the Father. I mean, have you guys ever been a part of a day where, it's just been a long, draining day, and the last thing you want to do is, like, hang out with anybody anymore, but it's, like, time to go home, and you know that your family's going to be there, but maybe for some of you, your family is like, no, that's the place that I, like, recharge. Those are my people. Like, actually, my house is maybe restful. I hope that at least some of you get to experience that in this room. Or at least you may want to be with, like, a group of friends who recharge you. And it seems like in some way, shape, or form, Jesus goes to the Father to have and experience this relationship that he has with God that recharges him, this depth, this intimacy. One of the reasons that Jesus over and over and over again pulls back, pulls away, goes off by himself is because of the deep relationship that he has with his Father, God. That's one example and one place that Jesus pulls back. Another is found in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Just one page over, probably for most of us, says, in these days, he went out to the mountain to pray. Remember, I told you sometimes he pulls away to a mountain. And all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12 whom he named apostles. And then it goes on to list the 12 disciples. If you've ever wanted to know who those people are, you can continue reading that right there. But this is another instance, and don't have all the time in the world to break down a bunch of passages here, but I wanted to show you multiple places where Jesus seems to pull away so that you can see this is a pattern in his life. But this is another time, and it's right before Jesus is about to call and name the 12 disciples, and so it seems like part of the reason, at least, that he's getting away in this instance is because he needs some wisdom. He needs some help. He needs some discernment. Father, who are the 12 that you would have me call? And so it actually says that he stays up all night in prayer, all night in conversation. I would say if intimacy is one word that we could say that Jesus sought with his Father, I think that another thing about when Jesus got with his Father is that he oftentimes got with him because of his dependence on him. If you're taking notes, write down dependence. That Jesus was dependent on the Father. In the book of John, we do see that verse that talks about how Jesus was only ever doing what the Father asked him to do. Jesus, for all of his steps and all of his words and all of his, like, the whole life that he lived here on earth, he was dependent. Hey, Lord, I don't want to do anything that you would not have me do. Father, direct my path, guide my steps. In this instance, Father, help me know who it is that you would have walk alongside me for these next few years. Jesus was dependent on God the Father. And so one of the reasons that he spent time in prayer was to seek wisdom, to seek guidance, to seek discernment, to seek life. Remember last week we told that story from that book by Tim Keller where he talks about, hey, if there was a pill that would heal me of my cancer and all I had to do was just take it every night at 6 p.m. right before dinner, how much would we take it? How much would we be dependent on that thing? I think all of us would do it. We would take it. We would be dependent. And in the same way, even in a much deeper, stronger way, we ought to be dependent on God the Father, just like Jesus was. And then one more instance, you can turn over maybe a couple more pages to Luke chapter 9. And this is in verse 18. It says, now it happened that as he was praying alone, it's kind of interesting that it says he was alone because of these next few words say, the disciples were with him. So was he actually alone to begin with? But Jesus is, he's tucked away, he's praying, he's alone, and yet the disciples were with him. Here's another reason why I think Jesus prayed, and maybe this one isn't so spiritual, but I do think it's Jesus leading the way for us. I think that another reason that Jesus tucked away to pray, went away by himself to spend time with the Father, was to set an example for you and for me and for the disciples who were watching him. That, hey, this life is not just meant to be us trying our best and doing our best and us fighting by ourselves and us trying to figure out all the answers and us trying to hold everything together. But no, we actually are meant to have a depth and intimacy in our relationship with God. We are meant to be people who are not dependent on ourselves, but are fully dependent on him. Yeah, we're meant to be in the world and a part of advancing the kingdom of God and what he's doing beyond just our own lives, but that there's times where we need to tuck away and actually seek direction and seek life and seek energy and seek all of those things from him in prayer. That we are supposed to follow the example of Jesus. And so if there's three takeaways for us this morning, that would be the first one, is that we would follow Jesus's example. To which I would ask, and again, I'm not, this should not be a series, hopefully, that makes you feel guilty, but I hope that this series is something that challenges you and hopefully kind of pokes and prods you and nudges you in the direction of doing just this, of following Jesus' example and praying. Are there times in your life when you tuck away? You probably don't go to a mountain, unless you have one like in your backyard. Maybe one of you lives at like Paris Mountain or something, or Highway 11, you got Table Rock or something. But are there times where you tuck away? Like, do you have a place? You know, we kind of were talking fun about friends and places that we would go to jump on the trampoline and do airsoft or whatever, But do you have a place where it's like, hey, no, when I go here, like this is the chair, or this is the table, or this is the spot in my room, or this is my place to meet with God. Do you have a place like that? Where you follow Jesus' example, tuck away, and spend time with God. That would be the first takeaway, follow Jesus' example. The second one is pretty similar. It's right along the same lines, and it's seek intimacy with God. I think that one of the reasons maybe we struggle to pray is because we're not quite sure what we're supposed to say. We're not quite sure what the conversation is meant to look like. We're not sure, like, well, can I actually say that thing to God? Should I say that thing to God? Does he care if I were to bring things like that to him? And I think that the longer that I live and the longer that I walk with Jesus, it seems like anything's fair game. And my conversations with him oftentimes look a lot more like a conversation that I might have with my dad, just on like a grander scale, or with a friend, just on a much bigger, grander scale. Like, our conversations with God are meant to be just that, conversations, meant to be relational, much like we would have conversations with our friends. Like, we can share anything, we can open up, we can take all things to him. Seems like Jesus did that, and he was experiencing intimacy with God, a depth of relationship, and so we ought to as well. So maybe some of the questions that you might think with regards to that are, what are the things that you bring to God? Like, do your conversations just look the exact same every time? Because honestly, if that was a friendship that I had, I might say, well, maybe that person's like more like an acquaintance and not quite a friend. A true friend, like, we have different and dynamic conversations. Like, we talk about what's actually going on. It's not just a, hey, how are you doing? Good. Good to see you. But there's a depth to it. Do you just bring the same things to God every time, or are you actually experiencing some depth in your conversations with him? Do you worry about stumbling over your words and having the right words to say, or do you just say what's exactly on your heart, much like we do with our friends? I think that that's part of what the relationship with God is supposed to look like. That we can bring anything to him, say anything to him, and that we would actually listen back to him. You know, I don't imagine that the whole time that Jesus was talking with his Father, that he was just talking to him. But I think there actually were times when he was listening as well. In your prayer time, in your time experiencing intimacy and relationship with God, are there moments where you just stop and sit in silence and listen? Because perhaps there's something that God wants to say to you in that moment. And we may talk about that more in the next couple of weeks. How do I discern? Is that the voice of God, or is that the Moe's that I ate on Moe's Monday? But I think that there has to be parts in our relationship with him where we're listening to him, not just talking to him. But I think he has some things to say to us as well. And then the last thing is that we recognize our dependence. Recognize your dependence on God. I think that maybe one of the, I've found myself experiencing this as well, but maybe one of the cues to, hey, maybe you're not actually dependent on God, is that you can go an entire day without ever having prayed to him, without ever having talked to him or with him. Like, we can go about our days and feel so self-sufficient, feel like we've got it all together, feel like, no, we've got this taken care of, and sometimes we don't recognize our dependence on him. And yet Jesus, God in the flesh, went to God regularly because he knew that he was dependent on God. He needed God for everything. How much more do we need God for? So, what does it look like for you this week? And maybe you continue to take me up on the 5 minutes a day, or maybe for you it's become 10, or maybe for you it's just 1 or 2 minutes a day of spending time in prayer with God. But what does it look like for you to follow Jesus' example and have moments where you tuck away and you actually spend time with your Heavenly Father? That's something that you guys are going to get to talk about in small groups. Let me pray for us, and then we'll go there. Lord, thank you for the example of your Son. That it wasn't just something that he said, yeah, you guys should do this, or here's what it would look like if I did it, but he actually showed us with his life multiple times. This is just from the Gospel of Luke, and these are not even the entirety of the places where we see in Luke that Jesus tucked away. This was clearly a pattern of life for him. Would you help it to be a regular pattern for us as well? We don't want to miss the things that you have for us. We don't want to miss the depth of relationship that you've called us into. We don't want to fool ourselves into thinking that we have everything all together. We want to be people who recognize our dependence on you. Would you help us follow the example of your Son every single day and what it looks like to pray? It's in his name that we do pray. Amen.